I was in the hospital for most of my pregnancy, and then the insurance does not cover what I had. I had something called hyperemesis. I think just my little girl, just knowing that I had a little girl in my belly and she needed a mom. So I think that's just what pushed me through it, because I don't know, I just the fact that she was in there and I needed to do all of this for her.
Welcome back to the Single Parents Conflict Podcast. I'm your host, Demetrius. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, right now I am doing several episodes kind of combined talking about specifically single mothers in their conflict, and focusing directly today in this episode, we're talking with Crystal. Now, Crystal's a single mother to a teenage daughter. She's fought her way to moving herself from a career that she thought she needed to one she's actually passionate about. And she's done this even after battling cancer. So without further ado, I bring you our interview, Crystal. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe or follow, depending on where you're listening to this podcast on. Now, without further ado, here's my interview with Crystal. Hey, what's up? First off, I want to say thank you. I know taking your time out to kind of talk with me today, because I know probably a lot going on with the holidays, New Year's coming up. So I appreciate it.
Of course.
Yes. So speaking of, so I know there's a lot of stuff going on with 2022. Do you have do you believe in like the whole, well, it's January coming up again. Like I gotta change something. I gotta lose weight, or I gotta, you know, change people in my life. Is that something you kind of do too? Or is that kind of like blah?
I do. I think this year I'm going to focus on it a lot more. I think I posted a quote today about loving myself more. So I'm going to do that. But I do want to get healthy. So I was just at GNC today looking for different protein shakes and things like that. There was one that was grass fed, but it was glazed donut, Krispy Kreme glazed donut.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I'm going to try that one. They swore by it at GNC. So.
Oh, man. So yeah, now it makes me wonder, though, is that going to be like, it's like, oh, great. It's going to like keep me motivated to take, because that's something I love Krispy Kreme donuts, but I would probably take two. But is that just going to like make you want Krispy Kreme donuts more?
So, or is it kinda... I don't think so. My thing is if I eat something salty, I want something sweet. Think if I curve that with at least protein, he said you could either mix it with milk or water or oat milk, which is what I like to drink. I think that will kind of give me that sweet craving that I want. So I'm going to try it.
Okay. And oat milk. Okay. So go back. Oat milk. Tell me about oat milk.
It is my favorite. It's like milk, but much creamier.
Okay.
I discovered it at Starbucks.
Starbucks, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Still a Wawa guy.
Watch it.
Oat milk. But, listen, whatever works. Because, I mean, I applaud anybody that can go to Starbucks and go through the whole menu. I'm in line. I'm like, I'll just give me a coffee. I don't know what size, you know. But
Yeah. That's why I use the app all the time. I never use anything but the app. So
yeah, that's cheating. But
So I think that's my main thing, just to get healthy. Obviously lose weight too, but get healthy is my main priority, so I could at least make it up a flight of steps without dying.
Yeah, no, that's not good. Well, it's not okay, so it's not just me then.
No. I think it's probably 90% of us.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, just us as a country as a whole, I'm sure we hear it all the time in the news. America, you know, we're all overweight. And yeah, we know.
But, well, maybe they should change the price of things. I mean, I could go get a McDonald's dollar menu and feed my whole family for, what, $10? And then I go get a pack of strawberries and it's $5.
Isn't that nuts, though?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah, it's kind of backwards, but... It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all.
Not at all.
So right now, and I won't give, you know, too much details out, but I'll say in general. So you're a public safety officer here at our local community college. Listening recently that when you were younger, kind of going back, I call it the what you want to be when you grow up moment, right? Was like you wanted to be a detective, right? So what sparked that interest? Like originally, was it something like like way back when I wanted to be a police officer. So my mom always had cops on. So it's like, oh, look, get the bad guy, yeah, that kind of thing. Was it that or was it like something else that kind of sparked your interest?
So I was really good at finding out information from my friends' boyfriends.
Oh, okay.
My nickname, one of them was Detective Crystal. So yeah, that was my main thing. And I was like, I don't know, I loved the cop shows and everything. So it just kind of sparked my interest. But I didn't want to be a cop per se, but I wanted to be a detective because I like to find things out.
So were they always coming to you about anything they needed, like research or something? And this is pre-Google, so.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, they would come to me and I would ask around, or I'm really good at asking questions. So I would go right to the source.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And so fast forward then, right? So you end up really, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I was seeing stuff, but you didn't end up being obviously the public safety officer you are now. You end up going toward a different path. What did you end up doing before this?
Yeah, before this I was a teacher. So I was next in line to own my own childcare center.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So I was an assistant director at one, and then I was going to be the director. And I quit my job, actually.
What made you want to do that?
Well, I was married. And at that time, he wanted me to be a stay-at-home mom, I guess you could say. So I gave up my dream to do that, to be a stay-at-home mom, which that did not happen.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know, like, the stigma behind that. Because, I mean, if it's one thing, because, you know, it's woman's choice, right? It's like, if you want
to
do that,
great. It's not what I wanted to do, though. I like working. I didn't want to just stay at home and do nothing. But I do like working because I like to be around people and stuff. But there was really no, after the director, there was really no room for advancement. And it wasn't paying enough. I had to work holidays and I had to work when nobody else was there. I had to be there.
Oh, wow.
So, it was kind of, I guess it was a blessing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's crazy how small things like that just change your whole career path. So then going back then, so like during your pregnancy, I know some things, it wasn't a normal pregnancy, as you know, we all hope that would happen. Yeah. Like, so can you talk to me about that?
So I was in the hospital for most of my pregnancy, and then the insurance does not cover what I had. I had something called hyperemesis. So I would actually throw up 30 to 40 times a day.
Oh my God.
So I actually lost 37 pounds when I was pregnant. And since the insurance didn't cover it, they send you home with a PICC line. So I had a PICC line in that's, I don't know if you ever heard of one. They're a little bit more than an IV. So you don't have to change a PICC line, where an IV you have to change every couple of days. The PICC line you don't.
Oh, it just stays in you then the whole time?
So okay. It goes up your arm and like into your heart, almost like your chest area. And I had to change my own IV bag at home. I had a nurse come every once in a while. So if I wanted to go somewhere, I had to put my IV bag in a book bag that at least I could get out of the house. But yeah, that's pretty much how I was eating because I was so, so sick. I mean, even sunlight made me sick. So they told me every day to keep praying for my little girl because it's not healthy, obviously, being that sick.
And what was the diagnosis again?
Hyperemesis.
Hyperemesis. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I just finally, the third trimester, I got over it and I could actually enjoy my pregnancy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So then just like that, so after it just kind of went away, or was it something you did?
No, I didn't do anything. I just started feeling better. I was able to eat and keep food down and boom, it was like literally the third trimester, I was fine.
So how did you deal with that during that time? Like, what were the like emotions you had to kind of get
through? Oh, it was terrible.
Only imagine.
I mean, it was terrible. Thankfully, I didn't have any other children to take care of. I laid in bed for most of the time. I mean, sunlight made me sick. I had to put a comforter over my window because it would let sunlight in. And every time I looked at it, I would just feel nauseous. I don't know. It was just, and then I tried to tell myself, like, this is in your head. This is in your head. And nothing worked. I was sick. And I don't know. I was really upset and just depressed. But I still remained smiling and If someone came in and I was, say I was laying towards my window, they had to talk to me that way. Because if I rolled over to look at them, I would be sick.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't even know. So what motivates you through something like that? Because I couldn't even imagine having that. I don't know what I would do.
I think just my little girl, just knowing that I had a little girl in my belly and she needed a mom. So I think that's just what pushed me through it, because I mean, I was not miserable at all. I was threw up and just smacked that smile back on my face. So it was just, I don't know. I just the fact that she was in there and I needed to do all of this for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I have a lot of motivating factors for what I do with, like with my son, but nothing to that like extent. So I like, wow. And then so you fast forward then, right? And then what was it 2018? Like something else happened then, right?
Yeah.
So this is after you had your daughter.
Well, yeah. Well, I was diagnosed with my first dose of cancer. This was like, I want to say like halfway through the second trimester, I found that out. So I gave birth to her in 2007. And then I want to say it was a week after that, then they removed the part of my cervix that was cancerous. And then I was fine. Everything was fine down there with the cervical cancer. And then in 2018, while I was pregnant.
Wow. And is this different than the actual diagnosis that you have? Is that what that is? That cancer? Or is that something
different? Yeah. So, yeah, it was different. Hyperemesis is different from I had cervical cancer when I was pregnant with her. So they gave me a couple options. They told me that I could just wait it out. And after I have her, then take care of that. Or I could abort, or I could just see what, I don't know, just basically wait it out. So that's what I chose to do, because I made it that far. Actually, it was November 11th. I found out that I had cancer, a cervical cancer. And then November 15th was when I had my surgery.
Wow. Oh man.
Yeah. So someone is watching me, because they were able both times to just remove the cancerous part, and it did not spread at all. It was in the fallopian tubes also when I had the uterine cancer.
Wow.
So
yeah, you would think, right? Because it's like, so not only that, so your original diagnosis, you're pregnant, you're dealing with that, and then kind of fast forward to like everything else, another diagnosis, cancer. And then it's for me, I'm like, I don't even know how I would have dealt with that. Like maybe I would have given up. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to
still lose you.
But then fast forward to then another diagnosis of cancer. And it's like what is going on? But I feel like, I don't know. You could tell me, but I think that probably put you in a mindset, maybe a thicker skin, maybe a lot more 100 proof. Exactly.
Yeah. I had in between those two, I had robotic surgery, actually.
What is that?
I had muscles hugging my aorta valve near my diaphragm. So my organs were not getting enough oxygen. So it was diseasing my organs. So I don't have an appendix. I don't have a gallbladder. And then they finally figured out why these were being diseased was because of this oxygen thing. So there's at St. Luke's Hospital, there's a robot called Da Vinci, and he did my surgery.
Wait, go back. So you're saying a robot actually, so not a person. Was this controlled by a person or just?
Yes. Yeah, okay, it's being controlled. Actually, if you Google it, I'm actually on the internet. My surgery is because it was so famous because nobody's ever did it around here. And I was the first person ever that they used a robot with.
No way. I'm looking this up right now. That's robotic assisted surgeries for patients. I've never heard of this. But yeah, I'm like,
I have a printout. Okay. I'll have to, because it's very specific what you have to look up. But yeah, actually, you can see the insides of me and the robot like performing the surgery. There's like 4 or 5 pictures of it.
Oh my God. Have you ever showed your daughter this, or is that kind of too much?
Yeah, no, I showed it to her. She thinks it's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, oh, wow. Yeah,
I want to say I was 23
when
I got that surgery. So, yeah.
So,
but here I am today.
Here you are today. You're basically a part of history. How does that feel?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yes.
So, okay. So now Fast forwarding again, right? So now you're propelled to, and you can probably fill in the gaps here, honestly, but so now you're the public safety officer. Now it's not exactly what you wanted to be as a kid, right? It's not a detective, but you're in the criminal justice field now. Like you're actually fulfilling like kind of the dreams that you wanted to do. So can you talk to me about like how did you feel then at that moment when you're like, oh, you finally got that job? Did you give you new ambition? Like what kind of walk me through that?
Yeah, well, I started as a dispatch. I actually got hired a week after I graduated. This was my first job interview that I went on. I knew pretty much nothing about shooting a firearm. I knew nothing about a taser. I mean, I never held a firearm in my life up until 2015. And so I graduated college, became the dispatch. And then from then on, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. It was more pay. So I decided to get my Act 235 with firearms, which the first time I ever picked up a firearm, I will tell you, I was very scared. But now I'm so comfortable with it because our training is excellent. So I don't know, like I just felt a sense of accomplishment, I guess you can say. I was just so proud that I actually completed all of that.
Yeah, that's huge, especially everything kind of looking back of everything you went through. It's like, it's remarkable. But in this one thing, I saw a quote that you were kind of mentioning. What was it here? I think you were telling your daughter to keep your chin up or the crown slips. Where did you get that from?
I actually saw that on the internet one time. And I tell her all the time, like, don't walk with your head down, like walk with your head up. Be proud of who you are, because if you walk with your head down, because I call her my princess, the crown will slip. So princesses wear crowns. So do queens, which is what I am. And neither one of us walk with our head down because of that reason. There's a bunch of times that I do have to remind her because she's been through so much too. But yeah, it's pretty heavily used between her and I.
Wow. No, that's awesome. Yeah. When I saw that quote, I was like, I get it. But that, no, I'd never heard it before that. So that's pretty awesome. If there's one thing, right? So, you know, going through everything that you've been through, if you could go back maybe to back in time, right? To maybe your 20s, something like that. I'm not going to go through your age. That's not nice. Never say anything about a woman's age. But if you can go back in time, was there something that you would tell yourself to your past self that you wish maybe you would have known back then?
Well, I didn't need a college degree to become what I am today. I think I would have went for my Act 120. So I think there was just more, like I guess I would tell myself to research more. I think I would really have been a good nurse. So I think that I would have, instead of jumping into one thing, I should have done more research. I should have, I don't know, just learned more than what I did. I kind of, oh, wow, I got this job. I love it. So I did everything that I could possibly do with this job. So not that I don't like it because I love it, but I don't know. I think I would have opened myself more to other options. I think I would have told my past self, don't jump, take your time, breathe, look at all your options, and then figure out what you want to do.
Wow. Yeah, that's important. I probably would have thought the same thing too, because I think, again, at one point I wanted to be a police officer, but when I got older, I realized like, oh, wow, you don't even need certain things that you think you need, depending on the department, right? So,
yeah, exactly. And I also would have told myself, you do not need to lose weight at that age. Because at that age, I was like, oh my God, I need to lose weight. But now I wish I was that weight.
to be a teen or even a young adult.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. I mean, it was only like 3 years ago when I was 20. So.
Gotcha. I want to be respectful of your time. I do have some questions though that kind of popped up, if you have a sec to kind of go through and maybe help a few people.
Sure.
Okay. So question number one, I meant to put the names in here, but my daughter started her period. She is only 8. Her pediatrician has sent me to take her to a specialist. I am scared. Why is this happening to my baby? So I have a son. So I have no idea, about when the period it's supposed to start. Like, I have nothing like that. And obviously, you're not a doctor or anything, but being, you know, a mom to a daughter, like, how did, when your daughter first got her period, like, how did that work? And is being eight, do you know if that's an issue at all? I don't know.
No, it's not an issue. It's just that girls are maturing and growing up so fast lately. So I know a lot of people who had young daughters. I think, in my opinion, the pediatrician kind of obviously scared the mom and should have never done, like, going to a specialist at eight because your child got her period. It's not uncommon for a child at that age to get their period. So I think maybe jumping the gun like that obviously scared the mom. So I just think they should have just explained other things that she could do and help her instead of, oh no, you have to do this. Because like I said, I know many parents who just, their children were that young.
Okay. So it's not abnormal. No, that's what I thought.
Not abnormal at all. And it's not, in my opinion, it should not have been the poor mom to be scared like that. That's not, I mean, I would be freaking out if someone told that about my little girl, but nope, that's totally normal.
Oh man. Yeah, that's crazy. So, okay, cool. Well, if I ever have, I don't plan on having a daughter, so I think I'm safe. But question number two, what can a parent do to get their teenage child to clean their room properly? The vein of every parent's existence.
Yes, that is a good one. So I do a lot of research about like how different parents view things. But I did see that taking the phone is not a punishment. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, if you don't clean your room, I'm going to take your phone. And a lot of parents. But I read it's not a good punishment because then your child is going to retract once they get their phone back. Because they're going to think, oh, did they see that I told my girlfriend that I love her? Or did they see that I said, oh, I can't stand this girl? So using your phone as a punishment is not good. I found that I help her. I guide her. So I think that's really good. Make it fun. Do it together. Don't make it a chore because kids aren't going to like that at all. What I've been doing is since my daughter's home on break, I will make her a list before I leave. So, but I don't put horrible things on there. So I say, clean out your dresser or make your bed or just little things, not clean your room. She's not going to want to clean her room. But if you give little things daily, then she decides, okay, yeah, I can do this. This is simple. All I have to do is go through my dresser. Cool. Then tomorrow I say, okay, vacuum your floor. Oh, all I have to do is vacuum. Great. Then just little by little, that's what I do. But sometimes I'll go in there with her and we'll talk and clean her room, clean out the junk and things like that. So that would be my advice. Do it together or step by step.
I remember you telling me that. I completely forgot because I used to do that with my son. I think it was in the summertime. Like, oh, yeah. Gotta go. So here, just do this or that. And then I totally dropped the ball and doing that. So I have to remember to do that because that's actually a really great idea. Small tasks. And then next thing you know, their room is clean. So it's like, let's see. Third question. So this might go into your public safety skills here. Today, I saw a 10-year-old walking in a grocery store alone. I followed him for 15 minutes and nobody came for him. He eventually even walked outside the store and he was still alone. Should I call CPS or Child Protective Services? Like I was like, he's 10, but I don't like, he's in that between age. I know. What are your thoughts on this?
I would have called the police just to make them aware, just in case maybe the child is alone. Maybe something happened to his parents or some, you never know. But my daughter's 14 and I don't even allow her to go to the bathroom in a public place alone because you just never know. I mean, you hear all these things that happen in the bathrooms. You hear all these things that happen in a store, like parents quick run into the store, leave their kids in the car. I mean, his mom could have sent him into the store and from the store to her car, something could have happened. So yeah. I would have definitely called the police, not CPS. I wouldn't have called Child Protective Services. I would have definitely called the police just to make them aware that I was uncomfortable with the situation because I would feel terrible if something happened and I read it in the paper. And now, I saw the little boy and couldn't do anything about it.
So is there instances then that, okay, yeah, a 10-year-old is just out about just grabbing something to, from the store and then just on their way home?
Yeah, I mean, there are parents that allow their children to do so. Yeah, but it's better to be safe than sorry.
Right. Okay. All right. So I just had those three questions there. But so for anybody that may be listening that are maybe, I'm sure they're not going through a similar situation exactly how you did, but Buxer's pretty unique, but maybe they're a young mom who's, you know, suffering from a lot of stuff or just kind of feeling hopeless, or and maybe they're listening in right now. So yes. What would you say kind of to them, you know, if they're feeling hopeless or maybe just need to hear some inspiration? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's just good to get what you want to say out in the universe. So don't hold things in. Even if you talk to your dog, I mean, just get it out so that you get it off your chest. If you feel you have no one to talk to, at least get it out there. Also, it's okay to feel that way. I mean, it's okay to wake up in the morning and be like, ugh, I just can't do it. I just can't, because in that moment, you can't. But as the week progresses or as the day progresses, you just always remember that you can do it. At that moment, you can't, but looking forward, you can. So, I mean, I always say, hey, go for it. Take that extra leap, do it, eat the extra piece of pie. I mean, just do whatever you can to make yourself feel good, but it's okay to not feel okay every day. And for moms, keep your chin up or the crown will slip.
And apple pie only. No, I'm just kidding.
No, please. That, to me, that sounds healthy. So let's do the ice cream cake from Carvel.
Oh, man.
Go have a piece, because it, like I said, but just as long as you, if you have a friend that you could tell, or if you don't, I mean, I know I tell my dog a lot. I'm sure she probably looks at me. Well, she does, like I'm crazy, but at least I get it off my chest. I told somebody, the universe has heard it now. And now I can move on. That's just the way I am.
Shout out to Crystal again for taking the time out to actually join me in this interview. I know it's not easy. We all have hectic lives. So thank you again. Well, until next time, thanks for listening.